Hey there, this is Adam Zekas with Tom Kissingberry from the IDP Read and React IDP podcast right here at TLF. Say hello, Tom. Cheerio, chap, golly, good gosh. Here I am. Great. If you're interested in getting started with IDP and Dynasty Leagues or looking for a way to dominate your IDP Leagues, then our show is for you. Isn't that right, Tom? Ah, yes, my good man. And of course, I bring the coveted data and insight that can only come from a monarch-loving, tea-slurping, crumpet muncher such as myself. Yep, very, very cool, Tom. Very cool. Well, you can find our podcast right here in the DLF family of podcast feed on DynastyFootball.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at The Read and React.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got up. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Jake Trowbridge, and I might have a trading solution.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard that one before.
Oh, dang.
No.
Like, do you want to host this? You want to just keep going? Is this your
spoiler
show now?
Alert.
What happened?
My solution is just to make another trade on top of the one that you made last time to hopefully make it better.
No, no, that fits. That pretty much fits on brands. I like it. Yes. Your show now. Hey, everybody, welcome to session 221, because I believe I did update that, of the Trade Addicts podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts podcast network, the DAB network, if you will. And we do. We are here. Scott Fishbowl drafts are winding down. Nothing is still happening in the NFL, so there's nothing to talk about. Though, while we didn't get a video of J.K. Dobbins running, we had him yelling at, I almost said Michael Rapaport, but that's the actor, Ian Rapaport, where he was tweeting out or said something on a show where he was like saying that Dobbins isn't healthy and is by no means, you know, going to be sure to play week one. And he just quote tweets that and he's like, tell me who you're talking to, because that ain't real. I'm definitely playing week one. And I'm just like, yes, JK, yes.
I think he said he's damn sure playing week one.
I've been waiting for something like this. I've wanted the videos. We got the Travis Etienne videos, but this is it. I feel better now. I feel good about having JK Dobbins on my team. Boosted up in that trade value, boosted up on that, like everything. It's J.K. Dobbins season now. I feel good about it.
Buying all the Dobbins now?
Buying all the Dobbins now, which I didn't do for this show. Dang. Okay, now I'll have to do it before I put this out tomorrow. Great. Awesome. Thanks! Ugh. But Jake is here. Before we get going, you've been here before, so we don't have to do the whole interviewee thing, but why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
I'm Jake. You can find me co-hosting a couple of podcasts, Drinking and Talking Fantasy Football, with my co-host, Dustin Lunt, who was on this very podcast last week. Also the co-host of the Ball Blast podcast and a social media contributor for Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life newsletter.
Wow, that's a lot of really good things.
I try.
Do you just like walk around with your phone like, hey, look, I made it.
So in this version of success, I just walk around the street singing to myself, texting my mom about things that I'm doing on these podcasts.
Isn't that what success means?
I can't argue with it. I think you're right. I should do that more often. Sorry, Ma.
He made it. What do you think I'm talking about? Okay. Well, since, again, absolutely no news whatsoever happens. For some reason, I just past tense to news somehow. No news happens. But first, let's let you decide, Jake. Which do you want to do first? Trade Addicts trades or listener questions?
I want to flip the script. I kind of want to start with listener questions, I think.
Cool. The first one we have is from Kenny at Dynasty Beach Boy. How do you gauge if you have a contender or not during the non-point scoring season? Well, how many leagues are you in, Jake? Dynasty leagues.
I'm very proud of myself. I've actually cut back on quite a few. And I think I did it the responsible way, which is I got rid of my really good teams so that they were easy for people to fill, right? Like the orphan teams, like it's easy to get rid of the bad ones. But like I got rid of the good ones so that they were super fast snap ups. That's just my way of hedging against myself and saying that's not my fault that my existing dynasty teams are bad. But I am only in 6 dynasty leagues right now.
Wow.
It's really, really funny because usually that number, 6, we hear a lot when someone's like, I'm in a bunch, I'm in a few, and they're like, I'm in 6. And we're just like, nah, okay.
That's cute. That's cute.
But you were just like, no, man, I got it down. I got it to 6. Like, you were like, you came from what seems like the right direction as opposed to being worried that 6 sounded like a lot.
Like, are they gonna think less of me because I'm in so many? 6. So many.
Yeah, put like a 3, and that's in front of it, and that's what Rocky's in.
Oh, pretty much.
I
might be slightly higher.
Oof, I'm at like 21. I was so close. 21. I was so close to getting it under 20, and I was for like 3 minutes, and then I wasn't anymore.
Yeah, then you joined 3 of in some other leagues. And...
Yeah. It's a problem. Okay, so you have. No, wait. I'm not ready to go back to this yet. What made you leave the leagues that your teams were good in? I'm curious what the thought process was.
Well, the thought process for leaving those teams in particular was just that. I want to make it easy on the commissioner to be able to actually like get people into the league that way. But my decision to just cut down overall was just I was so irritated by not having energy to make a trade. Like, yeah. It was just like, does it matter if I make a trade in this league? It just started to feel that way. Like, I'm looking at too many rosters. I'm not excited about any of them enough to like be super active. And that's what I missed. I just miss being super active in leagues. So like, okay, I can get down to 6. That now I'm cooking with gas. Now I can look at teams and other rosters and actually be proactive in making the trades. So that's why I did that.
No, I mean, that's a really good reason. You know, you want to be able to give the leagues what they deserve, right? And you are just way too super nice to actually just pick the better teams to get
away. I know, you're a better man than me leaving your good teams, yes.
I couldn't do it. I felt like such a skeez. Don't get me wrong, I wanted to. There's a couple of real duds that I was like, yeah, this is an easy one to cut bait on. And I was just like, man, I can't do it. Like, A, because, and this is partly selfish, if I post that screen cap of that team out on Twitter and I go looking for people to fill it, I'm just going to feel their judgment the entire time and all of those responses. I don't want those. So a little bit was for me too of like, look at how good this team is and you can have it. And it
used to be good for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the thing. I can guarantee you in a very high percentage, I will never say 100% because people are different from everyone else. No one would care. And in the world of Twitter, someone would take the team.
Yes. You can get rid of the worst teams.
Like, it's really funny. Like, we had an opening in Trade Addicts 1. And I post, hey, got an opening. Who wants to be on the list? And then I have one guy go, what's the team look like? And I literally just replied, that would be cheating. And I didn't show anyone. And then somebody replies to that. Well, you think you would notice that you are the person looking to fill the team. And I'm like, we'll be fine. And yet, 50-something people still wanted it. And it was just really funny to me. Like, I get that my leagues, for some reason, people want to be in. I will They're just silly leagues with silly names.
You're never going to have a problem filling this Trade Addict or
anything. Exactly. But like in the world of Twitter, it's so easy to find a person. And especially even now, it's July. Chances are you've had your rookie drafts. You still, A, have plenty of time to fill the spot. B, we'll have no problem. And if you do have an open team, feel free to tweet it. Tag me on it. I will retweet it out there for you. Tag Rocky like four times, just in case.
Once may be enough, but...
No, like, tag him. Like, make a thread and just tag him in a couple. He gets to feel a little sad that he doesn't get enough notifications, so if you just boost him up, it'll boost him up.
Done. I'm going to send you one every 30 minutes for the next week, and that is just courtesy of your co-host, so you can enjoy that. I do have to say, because there's going to be somebody out there who's like, I took over his team. He's a lying son of a bitch. Like, there are a couple of duds that I had to throw in there. I don't want it to sound like all of my teams were magical. There are a couple of duds I had to throw.
It makes me so happy that someone else's brain works a little bit like mine does too. Because that's exactly what it would have been going through my head when I said I gave up all the good teams. Oh shit, there was this one team that really wasn't that great. But I point it out or did you just leave it? No one will notice. No one will... Okay, I know that one person's going to hear this and they're going to be mad and call me out and I'm going to feel like a jerk and no one's going to like me anymore. So guys, there was this one team. Like, thank you. I don't feel as alone anymore.
You're welcome.
Okay, so we tangented the hell out of that question. So how do you gauge if you have a contender or not during the non-point scoring season, Jake?
I look at it two very simplistic ways. And one is, do I have a team that any outside person, if I share my team with them, so this is going back, I'm bringing the tangent back into it. If I share this team, they go, yep, that's great. I would like to have that team. That's the easiest way. It's just objectivity. And if you can find that elsewhere to analyze your team, great. If you can't, I think you have to ask yourself, honestly, is this either a team that has a lot of pieces that did really well last year and should easily project to do it this year? Or at the very least, am I a super active trader? And do I have enough pieces on this team that have an obvious pathway to production or hype, where I can sell enough on the hype to get me like, oh, I'm on the fringe. I don't know if I'm a contender. But if you have those pieces that you know it happens every offseason, training camp comes around and here's a couple of guys that are probably going to shoot up because they post some great catches and shorts, like, wonderful. Then, and if you're super active and you can offload them, then that's the other one. But that's kind of a grayer area.
That's really funny. I never thought of it before. That's kind of brilliant. There's always guys later in rookie drafts who are purely getting brought into the NFL because they made a whole lot of one-handed catches in college. But like, they're not great route runners. They're not very good at contested catches. They just happen to make some ridiculous catches on the sideline. Like, go draft that guy because he's going to make some crazy catches in shorts and his value is going to go at least from a third to a second or something like that. That's beautiful. That's a really good idea. I like that. All right. So what about you, Rocky?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of it's kind of a feel thing. Jake said a lot of kind of what I feel too, but I think I'm also that guy. I'll set my lineup in the middle of summer to kind of get an idea of what it looks like. If I'm happy with that lineup, I tend to have a lot of depth on my teams, but I don't even worry if I don't. If I like my 10, 11 starters, whatever it is. And also, obviously, I do tend to, even with all the leagues, I mean, I'll look around at some of the pretty much all the other teams and kind of – because there's some leagues, like there's some leagues I'm in where there's like two or three monster teams. And and even if I'm middling there, I might want to try and go the other way. But if I think I have a playoff-type team but maybe not the top team, but there's no monster, then I'm a little more encouraged and consider myself more of a contender. So you definitely kind of have to gauge the league too in addition to, like I said, I like to look at my put a starting lineup in, get an idea of what I have, even though we don't trade for need until close to the season, Russ, but I will look at it.
Yes, you absolutely do not trade to fill a lineup, but I will absolutely, and it's always on my hands. I will never click buttons. It's just, all right, QB, running back, wide receiver, wide. You know, you sit there, you count, like, what would my starting lineup be, and how does that make me feel? The first thing you do, I'm an MFL guy. I know nothing about Sleeper or any other platform. On MFL, they have the power ranking in, oh man, hold on, where exactly is it? Reports, standings, power rank. Go look at that. And it's last season, which isn't going to be the same going forward, but you could really see where you stacked up last season, because just saying I finished third doesn't really mean much, but it will show you your all play record, which is if every week you played against every single team, what the standings would have been, you know, so how good your team really did stack up week to week against every other team. What else does it shows your, Hold on. I should have just gone to there. I don't know why I looked at it and like just didn't click on it. You know, the most you've scored, the least you've scored last season. Oh, and the could have won and would have lost is always, it's not always helpful, because like sometimes you could have won if you started some
six bench guys that you would never start.
Like, you know, it's just he was on the bottom of your bench and happened to score 40 points that week. But it's very interesting to see like how good or bad you are at setting lineups and how that actually affected what your score, your ranking was. And that's the kind of stuff I really look for to give me a base. Like, how good was I last season? And then I will say, what moves have I made since then? Do I feel like I made my team better, or did I just gain more value? Because I don't necessarily always look at what my starting 10 would be when I'm making trades. Sometimes I like the value I make the trade. Like, all right, how much did I screw this up in the past 2 months? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh no. Okay. You know, and that's how, sometimes it's that easier. Like, well, crap, I need to make some moves if I want to try and consider myself a contender, or are those like six pieces really young? And do I have some future capital? Okay. Then maybe I'll just hold back a little bit. And, you know, unfortunately there is no easy answer. A mosh of all the three things the three of us said put together, probably. I don't, unless, like Rocky said, unless there is a monster team or teams in your league, I don't really compare mine to other people. It's really just how I feel about my team in general, because if you feel like you have a team that can make it to the playoffs and there are no like disgusting teams in your league, then anyone has a chance. Like at that point, odds are so ridiculous, but like, if you have a dude with like Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jonathan Taylor, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, just quit the league, man. No one wants to be there anymore. Don't be like Jake. Don't worry about leaving your team good. Just be like, nope, I will pay for this year and next year. I don't care. I just don't want to cry for a whole season.
I was going to ask you that, but I guess both of you guys, that if you're a team that you feel is probably a playoff team, but is pretty clearly more of a 4-6 playoff team, are you definitely going in for that season no matter what? Like, even though if you think you're middling, or have you had teams like that where you'll just kind of, I'm just going to blow this up and try and be a monster team in a year or two?
I err on the side of if I can get into the playoffs, anything can happen, like Russ said. So I don't like to sit years out if I don't really have to. Like, if it's very obvious and transparent I need to blow it up and rebuild, I'm totally comfortable with that. But if I have that outside edge, I would rather take my chances and just see, because everything weird can happen in fantasy football, and I would like to err on that side.
Yeah, that's
pretty much the right answer, but I'll get a feel of what I have. Like, if I have, like, TA1 was really weird. I have no idea how I did, my team wasn't good, and then I didn't have my 23 first. So I'm like, well, crap, there's no point in rebuilding now. And, you know, but I had Waddle and T. Higgins, and I'm like, all right, but I have young guys. And then, like, Adam Thielen. Well, oh, crap. So, you know, just take stock of what you have and see if you do make moves that will push you towards winning, which unfortunately is usually go get Tom Brady, go get, you know, Zeke Elliott, go get the guys that are on that age cusp that will still score a lot of points but will lose dynasty value. How much will you be screwed if you don't win? You know, like, if you're going to go all in and then all of a sudden you have no draft picks and no young players, that scares me too much. Like, I know a lot of people will say, well, no, my team's going to score points, so I'm going to go for it. Like, And that's cool if you're that kind of person. That scares me so much. And blowing things up is much more fun than sitting and waiting and hoping your old guys do well. Because, again, it's only now July still that I would probably end up blowing it up just for the fun of it.
But blowing it up can be super fun. It's so easy to make trades, too, when you blow it up. Because so many people do want to score points and you don't care.
All you want is value. You don't care what kind of player. You don't care what player. You're just like, oh, that guy's going to be worth more because he's going to score some points. That guy's only like 21, so he's going to, you know, hold value for 2 years. Yeah, bring him on. Oh, I have a roster of 28 where 26 of them are wide receivers. Well, crap. Oh, you have to start a quarterback in this league. Oops. You know, like it's so much fun when you can find yourself in that situation, which I'm almost there in TA9, by the way. I have one startable quarterback right now, and I almost traded him away yesterday. But yeah, like it's very feel-oriented past that first step of me looking at the power rankings. After that, it's just, do I like my team? Am I going to sit here staring at it and like hate it, so I'm just going to blow it up anyway? Because I have absolutely done that before, where it's just I decided, not that the team was bad, just didn't like it.
Okay. I would like a fresh start. Yeah. I would like to reset this button on this roster, which again is just, you can do that. And that is probably my favorite thing about Dynasty, is just that you can do that anytime that you want. You can do that mid-season if you want. Like if you start with one win and four losses and you just say, nope, it's not my year. I'm going to start selling off every piece that's a decent asset. Which might arguably be the best time to do it, because then everybody else is in the thick of playing for points and trying to win and get in the playoffs. Then, yeah, the fun of that is really great. And again, maybe that's – I'm just going to bring this back. Maybe that's why I shipped off my good teams, you know? Maybe that's why I kept the bad teams around.
It's keep bringing the tangent back. It's fine. but, like, it's weird to think that the easiest it ever is to rebuild is when you have a decent team. Like, having good things to trade away makes it easier to trade for things. I mean, it's that logical. It's that easy. But, like, when you're stuck with, oh, well, I have Tom Brady and all those guys I listed before, where if someone's not looking to score points right now, like, if your monster teams happen to have very good young quarterbacks, you're stuck with Tom Brady. You know, so it's very much easier if you're like, oh, cool. I mean, like, I have Kirk Cousins. Everyone could use Kirk Cousins at some point. Oh, I have Tua. I mean, Burrow. Man, you build around Burrow. Don't get rid of Joe Burrow. But, like, you know, like, those middling tier, you know, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, like, those guys, like, that makes it so easy to, like, start off your rebuild as opposed to having crappy players.
What okay, we're saying well, we can is move on. Crappy players worse than good players.
All right, we have from at Ross Verba, and he just plainly says, Rashad Bateman versus Elijah Moore.
I love Rashad Bateman. Like, I love everything about his opportunity this year, and there's no but after it. It's nothing against Elijah Moore. I think that Elijah Moore has a really good chance at being really good in the next couple of years. I also think he has a really good chance of just kind of being okay the next couple of years. And I like the upside a lot more with Rashad Bateman for this year and for going forward after that. Cause I think that you saw what Hollywood Brown did last year. Yes, it was a little bit more pass centric of an offense with the Ravens, but I also think they could be that way again this year, because what's their backfield actually looking like? Like, yes, I know we talked about Dobbins at the top and we want to believe in Dobbins, but isn't it just as likely that he's maybe not great and ready to go week one? Like, and Dobbins, there's so many question marks back there. They could do it again. And he's the two at worst in their passing depth chart. So I love Bateman.
Yeah, right, what about you, Rob? Jake said a lot of what I was going to say. Bateman's the number one wide receiver on his team. Like you said, maybe the two, because Andrews is going to command a lot of targets. But Elijah has a lot of competition there. You know, Garrett Wilson, not that he's that good, but Corey Davis is still there. Breece Hall probably involved in the passing game. And then the biggest thing for me is he has a trash quarterback. So I know he technically still has quote unquote upside, and maybe he'll realize it. I don't know, but I didn't like him coming out, and I will believe Zach Wilson is a bad quarterback until proven otherwise, same way I believe Rojo is a bad running back until proven otherwise, which still has not happened. So I know Zach, well, you know, situations are temporary. Zach Wilson, maybe if he is as bad as I think he is, may not be there in a year or two. But I'll take Bateman. I like Bateman more coming out also, speaking of, you know, the pre-draft process. So I had Bateman kind of as a late first rounder in that draft, and Elijah is kind of an early second rounder when he came out. So I'll lean Bateman, and like I said, if Zach Wilson proves me wrong, maybe Elijah Moore can surpass him, but I don't think so.
This is tough for me because I do really like both of them, like everyone has said so far. But I also do think the answer is Bateman purely because it is safe. Like, Bateman's the guy there. We've seen Bateman be good. We've seen Bateman be good with Lamar for a little bit. And we've seen that in prior seasons, even when they are that run heavy, there are at least two guys that can still get a high target percentage. And while, again, that doesn't always mean the same because of the size of the pie, but still it's enough for Bateman to be very fantasy relevant. Elijah Moore, we've seen be very good, and we've seen be very good with Mike White. But add in Garrett Wilson, who, again, I also really like. There's just a lot more questions with Elijah Moore. But also there's a price difference. Like, I think there's a decent size price in between. Like, I think there's like a second in between Bateman and Moore, which doesn't sound like a lot, but at the level that they are, it kind of is to me. Like, so would I, at their prices, I might go with Elijah Moore, but as a player, price agnostic, I would go with Bateman.
I'm glad you made that Mike White point, by the way. That great stretch by Elijah Moore, a lot of that was without Zach Wilson. Just backing up what I said. Thanks, Russ.
All right, the last question we have at OMG, it's J Brew. He has a team. Okay, this is like a real freaking humble brag right here. I have a team with 423 first. It's a yearly playoff team. I just got lucky with some trades. You used the knowledge you got from the Trade Addicts podcast exactly. to just build a dynasty. That's what you did. You're welcome. We did it. Two of the first are very likely the 108 to the 112. Who are players you would be comfortable trading one and or both of the late picks to acquire to help your team? This is a super interesting question because it's out of control with the 23 picks, and it's starting to creep into my brain, and I'm starting to like feel it. Like, at one point I accidentally said out loud, like, the 110 is going to be like a top five startup pick. And I'm just like, oh my God, did I just say that? That can't be right. No. Take a step back. You need to go in the corner and think about what you just said. No. It's an exaggeration, but like, we just have it in our heads that the first half of this rookie draft is can't miss. First of all, no one's can't miss, but the value will be there regardless. So I'm very curious what you guys think of this trading, what you think will be a late round pick. Do you have any off the top of your head before I break out the trade analyzer values?
One that stands out to me just right away, and I don't know that this lines up exactly with the analyzer, but Marquise Brown, talking about Hollywood Brown, like he does seem to be flying under the radar a bit. And I think a late first for him right now, because he's a super young guy getting paired back up with Kyler Murray, and that connection seems great. He's on a team where the primary receiver, DeAndre Hopkins, is suspended to start at least the year, and he's getting older, and he's potentially going to start falling off. Like, it seems like a no-brainer to me to go get a guy like that for that value.
That's interesting, because I love Hollywood too, and I think that would get snapped up, but he is like in Superflex ADP in the seventh round.
There is about a 23, so a 23 second and Marquise Brown for a first would be even in the analyzer. But I agree with you. I think that's a trade I would absolutely make. He's young.
Yeah, Russ won't trade him to me.
Like I said, I'd be willing to pay that for him. I didn't say that. Yeah, I'd be willing to accept that for him. I think it's like TA1. He just keeps coming for Marquise Brown. I'm like, look, I don't think you understand that I just like him more than you do. You're going to have
apparently, yes.
And then like a month and a half passes and he tries again. I'm like, we talked about this, Rocky.
I thought I liked him a lot, but Russ loves him.
I get enamored with ceiling or, you know, around right now. And like, I don't think Marquise Brown can be the wide receiver one, but like, I could see him walking into wide receiver 6 to 9 and maybe never repeating it ever again. But still, it doesn't matter. Like, I still think that's his ceiling, in which case, if he's like my wide receiver 3 or 4 on my team, there's no reason for me to let that go cheap, because that's points. That's potential. That is stuff that most likely won't come true and make me want to cry later. So do you have anyone you want to throw out there, Rock, before I go to the
I didn't have any off the top of my head. I figured we were going to play the game here of going down the list.
Okay, so I'm only going a 2023 first, they call it mid, is worth 384.24 in the analyzer. So I'm just going to go down because we're talking later, so there's no point in going up a little higher. Would you trade a 23 first that you thought was going to be late for, I'll give you two running backs, Cam Akers or Derrick Henry?
I would for Derrick Henry. I am out on Cam Akers.
That was pretty
much younger.
The second part was definitely my answer. I would not for Cam Akers. Derrick Henry's tougher. I don't think I would for Henry either. I'm a little worried that he's, you know, what is he, 28, 29 now?
He's not human. It doesn't matter.
I know, but he's coming off the injury, tons of work over the last few years. I'm a little worried he's not going to be like, he's not just going to step on the field and score like 30 points every game with 3 touchdowns and 120 yards.
I would, with Henry, I would probably do a deal like that Marquise when we were talking about. If you threw me a second and I'll throw you a third, you know, just to like mishmash it a little better. So it's not like Henry for a first, but I like the idea of it because I do still believe in Derrick Henry. Hey, look, J.K. Dobbins is right there. This is a little interesting one. Again, because he's going to miss some games. What about Chris Godwin?
I would send a late first for Chris Godwin.
I mean, I got him for a 24 first and felt great about it. So I'm curious if you guys think you have to send a 23 first for Chris Godwin right now.
I don't know if you have to. And I think especially if you waited until closer to the season when the I guess it's more of a chance at that point because hypothetically he could come back earlier than we think. And then you might look dumb and then the value goes up for him. I would rather take the chance that his value is actually going to solidify downward closer to the season where we know, okay, he's not coming out until, I don't know, November or whatever. At that point, I don't think you even have to give that late first. You could probably work something that's a little bit lower than that, but I don't know. I'm not a giant Chris Godwin person post-injury.
Yeah, I kind of am, and he's still only 26. So, I mean, he's going to miss maybe a handful of games this year, but he's hitting the prime of his career. We've already seen him have a wide receiver one season.
And we've seen him do it without Tom Brady, so it doesn't need to be Tom Brady for him to be good.
Yeah, yeah, I don't worry that much about the fact that he's probably going to lose Brady in a year or something like that. I just think he's a very good – he might even be on – oh, no, that's right. They did – I'm sorry. They did extend him. I was thinking they franchised him. They extended him. But – yeah, so – but, yeah, either way, I just think the talent is there. And, again, a late 23 first, like you said, I mean, we're not going to have 12 studs in the first round. So if I'm fairly certain I'm a high-end contender, I'll take Godwin and I'll take the next 3-4 years of production.
Would you trade your 23 first for Diontae Johnson?
Yes.
I just knew he was going to say it. He's put out there. He loves Diontae.
I am a Diontae Johnson stan.
Can I tell you, I would rather trade for Diontae Johnson at that price than Chris Godwin? So maybe that makes me an insane person. But
I have them probably about the same.
They are literally next to each other in analyzer value. So
I agree with the analyzer there.
A few interesting ones. Travis Etienne.
Yes.
Because we haven't seen it yet, so we don't know. But he is young, and he did have the hype coming into, sort of, because he was in such a strong class that still pushed him towards the end of the first. But, you know, would you trade at the end of 23 first for someone who was an end of 21?
Yes.
21st? 2021st.
I'd do it. I think Etienne is really going to be special. And I know it's that thing of, like, we haven't seen it, but it's just everything seems like it's melting the right way for him. Like, they're rid of the albatross of Urban Meyer. I honestly consider it
a bonus that he was out last year. I really think he's going back in a great situation. And like the just the target floor of him is the kind of guy. He's like Danny Woodhead on steroids. Like, I want somebody who's going to get all of those.
Not targets. Literally, if there was any officials out there listening, we do not need that random piece of paper in his locker room right now.
I don't want him getting suspended. No, but I think it's that with a much, much better rushing floor as well. So, like, I'm just super into it.
I would not. You know I've never been a big ETN guy, but I am willing, unlike – more so, I should say more so than say Akers. I'm willing to concede. I could see me being wrong on this. I don't love ETN as a runner, but I definitely could see a high reception floor. If he's going to catch like 60 to 70 balls, because the rest of that, even though it's been upgraded from last year, the rest of that receiving core is still not that good. Mm-hmm. So I could definitely see a big fantasy season for him, even if he's not that great. So, I mean, if you catch 60, 70 passes, you're almost in verging on RB1 territory, regardless of what else you do almost. So I could see me be wrong, but I would rather wait and see it than give the 23 first now.
I think I would do it just because – I think if anything else, like ETN could be a fun player to watch, which means he'll be a fun player to root for, in which case I'd want that on my team. That is not real analysis whatsoever. That is really just feeling fun. This last one, and this is like pushing, oh man, age is scary, but Keenan Allen.
I couldn't do it.
I think he has 1 year, literally 1 year in him. So it's like if he is the piece – that's going to get you the championship. And of course, everybody thinks that, yeah, you're just one piece away and it would be Keenan Allen and then I'll get the championship. So I could see falling into the trap of doing it, but I think reasonably I should.
I would give a 24 first for him. I would not give a 23 first.
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking, like, if I have Keenan Allen and I don't have a very good team, would you accept 2 seconds, 223 seconds for Keenan Allen right now?
No.
I wouldn't do that though either, no.
No. Yeah.
Like, if you could tell me that one of the – because, again, you can't tell anything, really. I know we're basing this question about saying they're late first, but you never really know. But, like, if you can tell me one of them is going to be top four and I don't know what the other one's going to be, I would probably consider doing that for Keenan Allen right now. Because I think a lot of people are with you, Jake, where it's just like it doesn't have a lot of time left. He's already 31. I think something like that. Or is he just 29?
I think he's 30.
Yeah. Okay. There, right in the middle. Yeah. I had it. Perfect. That's what I meant to happen. And you know, he's already one of those players whose value is never going to go up. Like, he could magically finish as the wide receiver one, and he's still at best going to keep his value. It's not going to go up. I would love to see a season where Keenan Allen finishes as the wide receiver one, by the way.
That would be amazing. And he'll fall in ADP.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, that's really what would get me is that is such a declining asset and it's going to decline fast. And a lot of these people we're talking about, if you do trade a 23 first for these players, and let's say you have some bad injuries and you're out of it, chances are you can get 23 firsts for these players in season if that one team that owns all the 23 first isn't like shutting them in a safe until draft season. Like, if you have a lead where people are willing to trade 23 firsts, I think you can flip these around later if you had to. Yeah. I don't think you will for Keenan, even if we're talking like pre-playoffs. I think at that time people are just going to want to lob a couple of seconds and a prospect at you because a first is too much to give away for a guy that, again, you're expecting like 5 games and then probably nothing else after that.
Yeah, and my whole thing with the 23 firsts, in terms of sending them, because that's what his question was, who would you send them to acquire? Yeah. I am trying, I'm sure I've done it a few times this offseason, but I'm trying not to, in leagues I have 23 firsts, whether I have one or more than one, I'm trying not to send them. Just because I think in season, especially as you get later towards the year, I just think it's good, you're going to be able to get more for that. People start thinking more about these rookies and all that stuff, you can, and I'd rather have more information on the guys that I'm using this golden 23 first to acquire. So like 8 games in, I, you know, we think at guy at, you know, ETN is going to be good. We think Cam Akers might be good, but you know, in November, I know who's good or have a pretty good idea who's good. So I'd rather hold on to that top asset. And then if I want to move it to contend, and also you have a better idea if you're contending. You might think you're contending and then you're not. So I know that happened to me in TA3 last year. So
it's funny because the opposite happened to me.
So yeah. And I'm just holding on to them for dear life unless I'm feel really good that I'm getting the better side of the deal because somebody really wants those 23 firsts.
That's a very fair point. But that is our last question. It is now time for Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team Superflex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception, and all but Trade Addicts 1 has 0.05 points for return yardage, which someone really slapped me in the face when I said, does anyone want this Trade Addicts 1 team? And they reply, I don't know, only if they get 0.05 points for return yardage. And I literally just replied with a sobbing gif because it's just like, I'm a one league. They're almost all the same except that one stupid thing.
Have you ever tried to get it voted through like the point?
Oh, we got rejected real fast.
Oh no,
you can't change scoring after the startup draft. I'm like, guys, it's so little, it's so stupid, and I don't even care. I will find a way to not have it calculate for my team. I just want the leagues to be the same.
Yes. Maybe try this offseason. Maybe there's been enough turnover.
Yeah, there has actually. Trade Addicts 1, weirdly enough, had held like the most managers like over year after year than the rest of them, weirdly enough. But maybe. Maybe. All right, let's get into it. Trade Addicts 1. This was a trade with the new guy, which was Kenny, by the way, who asked the question before. The trade is Ryan Tannehill, Alexander Mattison, and Jalen Waddle for Tom Brady, Ezekiel Elliott, Allen Robinson, and a 24 first. I'll read that again because that's a lot. Ryan Tannehill, Alexander Mattison, and Jalen Waddle for Tom Brady, Zeke Elliott, Allen Robinson, and a 24 first.
I kind of would do the Tom Brady side without the first even. I would rather take Brady, Elliott, and Robinson. I know people really like Waddle, and that's probably really like the line Waddle in the sand. Yeah, I would guess that's obviously the line in the sand, but like, I think Ryan Tannehill probably starts for just as many games from this point forward as Tom Brady. I don't think he is long for the NFL, so he is not a decision for me, or he's not like, I have to lean towards him. Alexander Mattison, I just think, is a really amazing backup. And I don't think that that's likely to change at any point. So it's just, okay, Waddle and Robinson. I get Robinson is super on the decline and Waddle is an increasing asset. But throw in that first and I'm smitten with the Zeke Elliott side. And I don't even like Zeke that much, but this just value seems really good to me.
He's another guy I think this year is going to be great for him, and then he'll be worth absolutely nothing and probably won't score as well anymore. But yeah. Sorry, Brock, go ahead.
This one is really tough for me because I looked at – Jake's kind of convincing me. As we talked about earlier, I'm also that guy that, you know, if I'm in the even 4-6 trains, I'm trying to get in those playoffs and hope something happens. So that's so many points there. Brady, Zeke, and A-Rob. I like A-Rob to have a big bounce back this year. And you get a first on top of it, so it's not like you're just getting all the aging points. I think I'm going there. I was going to say Waddle because Waddle is the best asset in this entire deal. And like, for instance, I wouldn't trade. I mean, I feel like if someone offered me Zeke, A-Rob, and a first, I don't know that I would trade Waddle for that, which is most of the offer. But I still think I want all those points on the other side plus the first. So I think
that's Jake a lot of how this started. I got the Brady, Elliott, and Robinson side, and I got so hung up on A, losing Waddle, and B, just the age of everything coming back, which was why he tried to take the first out of it. And I'm just like, I can't.
Yeah, you have to get that first.
And so the way I thought about it was a lot of what you just said, Rocky, like to me and Jake, like cross out Tannehill and Brady. Like, they're both going to be, I mean, Tannehill will probably find his way into at least a competition on another team, you know, just because he's not super old. He's white and he was drafted very early, you know, so he's going to get chance after chance. So like he'll be a QB2 for a team if they need, oh,
Superflex fantasy QB2. He has Dalvin Cook on his team, so getting Madison does have a little bit more value to it. But like, I did exactly what you did, Rocky. I sat there and I looked at, would I take Jalen Waddle for Zeke and A-Rob? And I'm just like, while I analyze or say this is fair, no. Yeah. That is so – so. And I literally just said, throw in your first so I don't feel like I'm going to – my team is going to drop dead after this season, and it's cool. And that's really what we – like, to me, I don't – like, I don't know what the word fair means in this because it's so weird and – like weighted on one side and point, like, but to me, like, I felt like this is what the trade needed to be for it to go through.
Oh, I think it's super fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this was a really fun one to put together. And I love that it was Kenny's first trade in the league too, no less. So whoop, whoop. This next trade is a lot less exciting in Wandale Robinson and a 24 second for Rashad White.
I want the second. That's the most appealing part of this for me.
Either side that you added a pick to was my goal for this. Like,
yeah, I don't have strong feelings about either. I know, I think people now, and I don't know when this one went down exactly, but with the Leonard Fournette weight gain news that's coming out from training camps, I'm sure that Rashad White has more value now based off of like literally that one report. But I don't care. I don't know. I just want the second.
I'm really not a Wandale guy, which is making it hard for me. I agree. What Jake said is the right answer. You probably should take the two guys' later picks. You know, Wandale is probably more of an early third, White a mid to late second. It's the right answer. I still think I'd rather have White. I just see more upside for White than I do for Wandale Robinson. He's just so tiny.
Devonta Smith. It was Marquise Brown.
He's short and he's tiny in like every way. So Devontae's at least tall. He's just very skinny.
He's tiny in every way.
He's gonna hear this and he's gonna come at you. He will. I know he listens.
Although he actually did grow like 3 inches when he came to the Giants, I believe. So he went from like 5'7".
Phrasing, Rocky. Come on.
So did most of the fans. Yeah, like I was never really like woohoo on Rashad White or Wandale. There's Wandale and Rondale, and that made me happy in the league. That's really clearly has nothing to do with the player at all. So I'm with Jake. Just give me that 24 second on top of either, like, yeah. Even it shouldn't be this way, but if this was like Rashad White in the 24 second, okay, cool. I'll take Rashad White because there's 24 second attached to it.
Like I said, that's the right answer, but I'm the guy that would have done this trade on the other side probably and gotten Rashad White for Wandale in the second.
I just thought it was interesting with two rookies. Like, I don't know. That always interests me, like rookie trades after, like well after the rookie drafts. The next we move to Trade Addicts 3. I think this one was you, Rocky. Both Jared Goff, Irv Smith for Christian Watson. All right. Well, wait. We got a Packers guy here. How do you feel about Christian Watson in general?
I should be more excited, I think, because, you know, our history with round two wide receiver draft picks has been off of the charts, but I'm failing to. Completely. Yeah, we have a long and lengthy road back. It stretches probably all the way back to the Acme Packing Company, I bet. But I'm just failing to get
ordering explosives.
I'm just failing to get excited about Christian Watson for whatever reason. And I just think I don't really want many assets on the Packers right now as a sort of not unbiased, but maybe biased in the wrong direction. Packers fan. It's like, I want Robert Tonyan and I want the backfield and I don't want anybody else essentially on this team. So for me, when I look at even Jared Goff in the super flex, like I took Jared Goff as my quarterback 3 and Scott Fishbowl. I know it doesn't mean the same here, but like, there is a certain assurance that I'm getting from Goff this year because he had literally nothing last year, literally nothing to work with. He has, by comparison, a lot more to work with this year, supposing full health. So, like, I would rather take that assurance of a quarterback too. And Irv Smith is kind of he's a fun dart throw. I don't know if he's going to be more than that, but I think I might actually lean that side.
I was just going to say, Sorry.
Go ahead, well, your trade, you should go last. Man, yeah, just the fact, I mean, I was never huge in Christian Watson either. Like, I know it's really hypocritical of me to say, like, the guy who gets drafted early and in the first round of rookie drafts, he's raw and he's not ready. And then I was in love with Cortland Sutton, even though he was an early second as opposed to a late first. But, like, it's a little hypocritical of me to, you know, swap that side now. But I never got super enamored with him. And I honestly didn't like the landing spot for him. Like, I really wanted Green Bay to take a more ready, like, go take Olave. I mean, like, someone that Aaron Rodgers isn't going to punch in the face because he's not running the rounds the way that he wants him to. Like, because, like, he's like Tom Brady, where it's just like, don't piss him off because then you just won't get the ball. You know, like, them drafting Christian Watson was me like, I'm going to go draft me some Romeo Dubs because at this point, who knows who's going to run routes better in which to earn his trust. I mean, it's going to be Randall Cobb, let's be honest. You know, so it's just so all of that being said, give me the quarterback and give me I can't believe people are still trying to give me hope on Irv Smith. I finally gave up and now it's coming back again. But yeah, and
value offense, man, he can do anything now.
I mean, value wise, it's probably fine as it is, but yeah, give me the quarterback in the Superflex League.
It's what I was going to say. So the context that Jake doesn't have is I am rebuilding in Tradeatix 3. I have no use for Jared Goff. I don't think I'm going to get much better than this for him. I don't think I'm ever getting a first for Jared Goff, no matter what. And he may not start by the time my team is good. I'm kind of where you guys are in Irv Smith. I mean, he's a nice little interesting player, but I don't really, even if he hits like to some extent, he's never going to be even like Darren Waller or, you know, tight end 4. He's not going to get that high. I don't think he's going to be that guy.
Who's Trey Burton that one
year.
So,
yeah. He's going to be like a low tight end 1 at best. So these were two pieces I didn't see being part of my future. I am higher on Christian Watson, I think, than both of you guys are. I did like,
sound like it's too hard to be.
Yeah, I did like what I saw from him in some of his college film. It seemed like every time I was watching cut-ups, like the Dynasty Nerds cut-ups, he would make some wow play. And not just because he was playing against lesser competition, just some of the physical abilities he has, some of the what catches he was able to make and things he would do with his body, things like that. So I definitely think this could go poorly in terms of Christian Watson, but he's also a guy, I don't think he's necessarily going to be great his rookie year either. The track record with Rodgers and rookies in general is not great. Watson's a raw guy that you wouldn't expect to dominate from the get-go. And that's not necessarily a bad thing for me if he ends up eventually being good, because I don't really want to win much this year anyway. So I just thought it made a lot of sense. I wanted to get something for these two guys because I don't think I'm getting much better than this, let's say, a year from now for either of them.
Okay, so I didn't realize this next one was you also. How did it feel to get Devonta Smith for Isaiah Spiller and Trey McBride?
It felt very good.
That's 2 months ago, a second and a third. Like that,
I would say 2 seconds, but
Isaiah Spiller was going usually in the early third.
I had sent a bunch of TA3 offers out, in part because we didn't have a lot of trades, you know, a day or two ago, and I was trying to get something going, and I sent a bunch out, and I think I sent one to this guy in this league that involved Irv Smith. I think it was either Jared Goff or Irv Smith, and then the trade with Dustin went through that we just talked about. And he said he was interested in Spiller and McBride. And the guy I was trying to get in that trade was Devontae Smith. So I'm just like, okay, Spiller and McBride for Smith. He said, yeah, I do that. So I was like, okay, I'm sending it.
I even like Trey McBride a decent amount. Yeah. And I'm still smitten with Devonta Smith.
I think Smith is definitely underrated, apparently by this guy. But in general, in the market, I just think the A.J. Brown trade and signing, I just think is – knocked Smith's value down so much. And he had, you know, he didn't have a chase rookie season, but he had a very solid rookie season for like the team that had this, I think the second or most the fewest passing attempts in the league last year. Was super run heavy. He still had 916 yards, I think, and he had some big blow up games. So yeah, I think he's going to be even better. Second cornerback coverage, that kind of thing. I can see a world where Smith outproduces Brown this year, and I also think the Eagles' passing offense is going to be better than people think.
Agreed. It can't be worse. I don't think it can be worse for fantasy.
Oh, no. So I have feel to so bad if it was worse. Yeah. Oh, no. Poor Eagles fans. Oh, no. That's rough. I really do. It's funny because I really like Isaiah Spiller and I really like Trey McBride. I love
Isaiah Spiller.
I love his landing spot because Eckler is getting up there in age. They've said they don't want him to be the workhorse kind of guy. And they've been trying to find that running back too, and just have had trouble doing it. Like, who was it? Justin Jackson. Yes. Cause Josh Jackson is Charlie. So, and then Josh Kelly and then Larry Roundtree, like every year they're drafting somewhat okay capital running backs. And Isaiah Spiller just fell further than I thought he would because he ran slow.
Yep.
But again, to a great spot because I mean, Eckler's 27-ish already, in which case give Spiller a year or two in the league, and he very much can be a workhorse for a Justin Herbert-led team. Like, that's what you want. But that's not what his value is because it's all very much maybes right now. And Trey McBride, again, the exact same thing. He's not going to do much this year because I still do believe that Zach Ertz is that guy there. But he's good and now on a very good team that has tried to use its tight end even when they didn't have one on the team. You know, like Dan Arnold was doing well on, you know, on the Cardinals for a while. Like,
so Max Williams.
Hey, he was part of that, like,
he had a couple good games
before T.E. mix in Baltimore. That was awesome. So that was not a surprise. That's why I didn't bring that up. But again, Devonta, so he's like,
Yeah, my only very, very minor hesitation was Spiller because I actually had him as my RB2 before the draft, and Lamb Walker had significant.
Yeah, he was a lot of people, like part of the top three, and then
and I could see him increasing in value. And like if Eckler's out for a month and he starts, you know, he has a blow up game or something, maybe I could have. Well, I don't know that I could have gotten a lot better than Devontae Smith anyway, but he could have gotten more value on his own than he did in this trade, I think, yeah. But yeah, it was pretty easy for me.
But like contextually for, and this is just me because I'm kind of a Spiller agnostic right now. So I really don't know how to feel about this guy. Cause I've always felt like his ceiling is kind of that Mark Ingram, like prime Mark Ingram thing where he's not going to be like a top tier guy, but he can be very, very usable. Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah.
Prime Mark Ingram like, had RB1 seasons.
Yeah, he was top
low end RB.
Especially on touchdowns, which Spiller seems like he'd be in a good opportunity to get. But like compare that to Devontae Smith. Like I just feel like the upside of Devontae Smith is much higher than what the upside would be for Spiller. But I could be talking out of my butt. I don't know.
Is that not what we're all doing right now? I agree with
your butt.
I mean, you don't see my microphone. Just saying.
That's true. It is pretty conspicuous at this point. But no, I just wonder, like, you know, some because I do feel like I'm the guy who always wants to value everybody at their ceiling play because, like, I'm an optimistic person. So I want to see them do their best. But, like, even when I look at the best of players sometimes, I'm like, well, the floor for Spiller could be, I think, pretty low in the Justin Jackson, Josh Kelly. Like, I don't know. Maybe he turns into those guys again. Mm-hmm. Or he could be Mark Ingram, whereas Devontae Smith could be, I mean, just incredible for many years. And that's why I always side that way.
Agreed. Well, we're going to trade Addicts 9, but we're going to skip on the show sheet a little bit because we have another Devonta Smith trade where before I even got the notification for the email, P-Win jumps into the chat and goes, hey, Russ, why don't you go get that Alabama wide receiver on your team? And I was just like, the hell is he talking about? Oh, he must have sent me a trade. And I literally just type, okay, and hit accept. Like, so it was Devonta Smith for Sky Moore and a 23 third.
Chef's kiss.
Like,
beautiful.
I like Sky Moore as a player.
his value got higher than I wanted it to be for the same reason that I used to like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but then he got drafted by the same team in the Chiefs, and all of a sudden he's the 101. I loved CEH as like the 108, you know, 202, what he should have been. But oh well. Like, I loved Sky Moore in the early second when, you know, we had a draft pre-NFL draft, and I think Sky Moore went like 203, 204. Like, I was pissed that I couldn't trade up to go get him. Now, what the completely wrong reason for me not liking Sky Moore as much is because I want to like Juju, and if I like Juju, it's hard to like Sky Moore also. And again, that is very bad analysis, but I don't care. I've
done that before, though.
Yeah, and the third is never really going to stop me from doing much. And I like Devonta Smith, and I'm like, yeah, okay, sure, why not? We needed content because we didn't have any real trades at the time, and I'm like, I like Devonta. I can probably go find another Sky Moore share if I felt like it later on, even though I probably have one or two else somewhere else. So okay, I'll take Devonta.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. I like Sky Moore, but I know Devonta Smith is good at football. Even if he didn't have a great fantasy season last year, he proved to me he's a good football player. And I do, as we talked about, I think he's going to improve. Sky Moore might not even be good in the NFL. We don't know. I mean, came from a smaller school. I did, you know, like his profile, but we have no idea. So that said, it's funny. I was looking at it, though, and I'm thinking, like, could you get a couple of months ago, would you be able to get, like, that's like the 109, 110, and a third for Devonta. I feel like a lot of people would not have given up the 109 or 110 for Devonta Smith.
But it's really funny. Like, that back end group of wide receivers, like, I was talking about this with – I was offered – someone was offering me J.K. Dobbins for Chris Olave and – Jahan Dotson.
Yeah, I heard you.
And I said this pre-draft, if you told me I could get J.K. Dobbins for, let's be optimistic, and say like the 107 and 111 or the 112, I would have smashed taking J.K. Dobbins. But I rejected it because I'm like, I like those names funny now. Yeah. Like, it's weird. The pick is usually worth more than the player, but like, I see these names and I'm just like, no.
And it's funny though, I feel it's the opposite here. Even though I think a lot of people like Sky Moore, I feel like, and I like Sky Moore, I feel like the 109, 110 would have been harder to get for Devonta Smith than Sky Moore is here. And maybe a lot of people wouldn't trade Sky Moore for Devonta Smith. I don't know. But I like this trade for you.
I just would rather take what to me looks like at least the sure number two in an offense. Even though, yeah, I know that the passing offense wasn't great in the Eagles last year. But, like, Sky Moore could realistically be the fourth passing option on that team, and it wouldn't faze me at all. I mean, what if Justin Ross ends up doing more than Sky Moore?
Russ would do jumping
more than everyone else on that team. Hashtag Team Clemson big wide receiver. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, it just wouldn't be crazy to me.
Yeah, it was absolutely just like, all right, I guess so. I mean, I didn't feel strongly either way. I'm like, all right, sure. But this next one clearly isn't super interesting and it's not super high profile, but Jacoby Brissett for a 23 and 24 third. I love pointing this out because people still get stuck in the argument. Why don't you like Superflex? Well, every quarterback, if they're starting, is worth the first. Not any, like, yes, there was a time where it was very annoying that way, but we've moved past that. We started to care a lot more about value than we just did starting two quarterbacks. And well, we still have no idea what's going on with Deshaun Watson, suspension-wise. Jacoby Brissett is going to start this season. Like, I find I will never say not it like a non-zero, because there's always a chance that something happens and Deshaun Watson doesn't get suspended somehow, because the world is insane and who knows. But, like, there's a 99% chance that you are getting a couple of games out of Jacoby Brissett. And whether they're great or not, who knows? To me, there's a good enough cast there to be decent. Even Jacoby Brissett has shown that he can be decent. So give me a decent quarterback for a couple of games for two-thirds. Yeah. But also, would I take two-thirds for Jacoby Brissett if I wanted to get rid of him? Yeah, I would. So I guess, I mean, this is a really good trade, and I wanted to point that out because
just because if you want to win and you want to score points, you don't have to send firsts. You don't even have to send seconds. You can find random players in random situations. And yeah, maybe 5 weeks in, it looks like Deshaun Watson's only suspended for 6 games. You figure it out then. Your trading doesn't shut down because you're in the middle of the season. And if you're in an active enough league, I love that.
I kind of feel like this is the answer to the question before from Dynasty Beach Boy. How do you gauge if you're a contender or not? Would you send 2/3 away for Jacoby Brissett and feel like you have a chance now? That's your answer. That's what it takes. Then there you go.
Brilliant.
I agree with a lot of what you said there, Russ. And this is perfectly fine. And to your point too about the quarterbacks, like we talked about Jared Goff earlier. Is anyone giving a first in any league anywhere for Jared Goff?
Especially start, now,
and he's almost guaranteed to start the entire year. Unlike you know Jacoby Brissett here, who was only garnering 2/3. But I don't think anyone would give up a first for Jared Goff, even a 24 first. So yeah, I think that rule has gone out the window.
Excellent. Okay. Oh wow, we still have a few more. So,
Russ, I wanted to ask you, we also have an in-show trade, not by me, but I just saw my email. We got a TA9 trade, so I don't know if you want to do that too, or you want to save it for next week.
Well, we have one more TA9 trade to go over anyway, and then I'll see how we're feeling.
Okay.
This, again, I was just talking about these two players, and I like them, but this was hard for me. Is Chris Olave, Juju Smith-Schuster, a 23 and 24 third enough for DK Metcalf? Like, I know Metcalf's value's in the toilet because Drew Locke and Geno Smith, but he's a 24-year-old non-human. I wouldn't feel good trading DK away for that. But it's good. I don't know.
I feel like DK Metcalf's value should be lower than it actually is out there amongst the public. Like, I feel like the perception is that his value is in the toilet, as you say, because Russell Wilson left. We have zero clue what the quarterback situation is like for this year or going forward. And it all adds up to, in my mind, it feels like, yeah, DK Metcalf's value can never be lower than it is right now. But I see all the time, and maybe this is just me being engulfed in Twitter too much, people are posting these Twitter polls of like, this is a trade with DK Metcalf, and it never feels like the value on the other side is different than it would have been this time last year. And it blows my mind a little bit. So to your point, like, is this enough for him? I don't know. It doesn't feel like it should be an overpay or anything, but based on right now, it just seems like you could get a lot more on the other side for Metcalf still somehow.
Yeah, this isn't enough.
I think DK Metcalf's value would be higher if Seattle had zero quarterbacks on their roster. Like, if we really had no idea what was happening with that QB situation, Metcalf's value would be higher.
Russ, I don't know what's gotten into you this week, but there was a Juju trade before this that led to he actually acquired Juju and then traded him, which it was a shocking trade. You don't remember this trade?
Was that the one where I said what in the Juju just
yes.
Good. So, yes, I cut that out of my memory on purpose.
Okay.
I just missed it and forgot about it.
Juju and a third for Rondale Moore. Wow. That was insane to me.
Say that out loud one more time.
Juju and a third for Rondale Moore.
Someone paid up from Juju to go get Rondale Moore.
Yes, they added to Juju.
Whew. What in the Juju disrespect went down?
Yes,
I'm glad I skipped over that by accident, and I'm mad at you for bringing it back up.
It was so crazy, I had to bring it up. But yes, the Juju side is,
and I do still like Rondale Moore, but that's just
I'm not a big Rondale Moore guy, but and I'm now forced to become a big Juju guy because me and Bobby Koch have a bet on Juju versus Jerry Jeudy, so.
Bobby's just a gambling addict. He loves making
preseason. I have the Juju side of that. It's more anti-Jerry Jeudy than it is pro-Juju. But
I'm going to try and make a Brandon Cooks bet with him and his mind's going to explode because we're both going to keep trying to outdo each other about how high Brandon Cooks will finish this year. I'll be like, hey, he's top 15. He'll be like, he's top 12. I'll be like, he's top 8.
And wide we'll receiver one. The bottom of it.
Yeah. It finishes the top scorer overall. Like that's infinity plus infinity. All right, we're going to move on to Trade Addicts 10. I've decided we're going to save that trade for next week. Okay. Just so we don't have to be like, guys, we have zero trades on Tuesday morning.
There you go. We'll have at least one no matter what.
We have one. This was fun. This was a bit of a cascade. TA10, Mac Jones, Darren Waller, and a 23 third for Deshaun Watson, Brian Robinson, and a 23 second. And it was really funny. Jones. Like, he messaged me, and he was just like, I hate this trade, but I think I'm going to accept it. And I'm like, well, if you don't want it, don't do it. He's like, no, I think I want to do it. But then why do you hate it? And then he just sort of changed the subject because I don't think he was able to answer.
I don't know. I'm probably – it's just me, like, I'm annoyed by having players in this situation on my team. So it's like, I'll trade away Watson if it's something that's decent and respectable and, like, of good value. Like, great. Like, I'm done. And then I just move on from it, and I feel good about it. But, you know, Darren Waller, like, there are a lot of questions, and I acknowledge that. Like, his target share probably can't remain the same as it's been because Davante Adams and Hunter Renfrow is a good player if you're into that sort of thing. But I would just rather – I don't – have any feelings about Brian Robinson. I don't have any feelings at this point about any Washington running back because they're just, I'm dead inside because of all of them. So I don't want Brian Robinson. And the second round pick sounds good, but out of that, I don't know. I would choose to bet on Darren Waller.
I am the opposite of you two guys on Deshaun Watson because Russ is way more in kind of your camp, Jake. But so to me, this is easily the Watson side for me. Mac Jones, I think he can maybe kind of be Kirk Cousins-esque and getting, you know, be that low-end QB1. But right now he looks like kind of stuck in that QB2 range. Their weapons are pretty crap there still. And Darren Waller's fine, but he's 29, 30 at this point. We don't know how it's going to work coexisting with Adams and Renfrow. And I feel like if Watson gets 8 games and this offer goes out in November, you get laughed at to me. I don't think anyone's taking Mac Jones and Darren Waller for Watson plus the better pick too, post suspension. So I'll take the Watson side.
It is still Cleveland though. Remember,
it is still Cleveland. That is true.
I saw this and yes, I'm pretty much team other side when Watson is in the trade, especially because Jones and Waller is respectable coming back, but I did look at him like, kind of wish that second wasn't there. But is that going to stop the trade from going through? No, I don't think so. But yeah, I like the idea of Jones and Waller because if anything, you do have a very safe lineup in those two players with at least ceiling out of Waller, and maybe you get a game or two where Mac Jones gets to throw the ball more than 8 times. And
yeah, I was going to say 3.
I was giving him the benefit of the doubt that hopefully won't happen again. But yeah, like to me, yeah, it's not a fair question for me. So whatever. The last trade we have, apparently this guy felt the same about Mac Jones that you did, Rock, because Mac Jones in a 23 third for AJ Dillon in a 24 first.
And I think he has 4 quarterbacks. So it was pretty easy for him to kind of move Mac without getting one back.
Even if I didn't have that, and again, try to just acknowledge the homerism coming out here with the Packer fan of AJ Dillon, but it really does seem like it's pretty much a no-brainer that he's the future of that backfield after this year, probably. I mean, it could be a split this year, and I do believe Aaron Jones is really heavily involved as the pass catcher, but AJ Dillon is going to make up for that with the pure rushing, the goal line attempts there, and then you add a first-round pick onto that. So, Rocky, you said, like, Mac Jones, I guess the ceiling is Kirk Cousins, which can be very useful in Superflex. Yes. Don't get me wrong at all. But the prospect to me of, like, a top 12 running back and the first makes me pretty comfortable with it.
Like, trading away Mac Jones for A.J. Dillon in the 24 first, I don't feel great about it, but I still pick the A.J. Dillon in the 24 first side. I agree with you that A.J. Dillon –
will do well this year. He will, because even towards the end of last season, they were splitting pretty close to evenly, and they were both scoring pretty well. And then if you get past this year, AJ Dillon is still young enough and will be the only running back there, most likely, because I'm pretty sure they can get out of Aaron Jones afterwards, after the season. And then again, you get a first. You know, in a world where 23 firsts are almost impossible to come by, you celebrate getting 24s. You know, and the 24 class, from everything we're hearing, is going to be pretty good as well. So it's beyond just getting a first that you're excited because you can't get 23s anymore. So, yeah, I think this is fair enough, but I'll take Dillon in the first, especially if you want to add context and say that Mac Jones was my QB4. Like, if it was a completely dispensable player, if I can get AJ Dillon in the 24 first, I'm thrilled.
Yeah, I'm with both of you. I'm not even that big of an AJ Dillon guy. I'm not certain he's going to be an RB1 even after Aaron Jones leaves. But
there is first, someone in your league who feels that way that you will be able to.
Yes, yeah, he'll probably be able to move. If they cut Aaron Jones after this year, his value will shoot up.
Yep.
And getting getting a first plus for Mac is fine for me. He's, like I said, I think he's going to be a mid QB2 for a couple years here. Continuing the Kirk Cousins comparison, I think I said when he was drafted, that's what I like. This is the guy I'm going to be acquiring in like 8 years because that's the kind of QBs I get. He's always going to be Kirk Cousins. But until he becomes Kirk Cousins, I'm fine moving him away if I can get a 24 first, you know, a future first out of it within the next couple of years. And then I'll reacquire him when he's had a couple low end QB1 seasons, but he's 29 and nobody likes him anymore. Because he has no upside.
So sad to hear those words out loud when he's 29 and no one likes him anymore. They're saying it again. But that is the end of our show sheet, so that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Jake, for coming on. A blast, as always. I hope you had fun. But before we do get out of here, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Jake Trowbridge, you can find me at Jake Trowbridge on Twitter. I do the podcast, the DTFF, the Ball Blast, and I contribute to Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life newsletter.
What do I have to say? www.patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can watch us record and just say hi, like Jason did while we were talking, or come in and ask questions. And if you know it's a slow week, we will ask your questions also, or just make fun of Rocky and I'll totally read it out loud. And then also there's the Cool Kids Club, our awesome GroupMe chat, where you know, come in, have fun, talk some fantasy football, or talk food is usually where you know it's just a good time by all. Also, Rocky and I started doing trade review videos, which were super amounts of fun. We posted it in our Patreon because Matt let us do it. We did one for Maddie last week, and we're going to keep those going. So another little perk of patronage, if you will. Also, and more importantly, ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com. Go and buy yourself some really amazing SFB12 stuff. We have, oh man, I'm so tired. I'm forgetting names of people that I talk to for like 20 hours out of the day. I have no idea how to say Jordan's last name, Lope or Loop. Sorry, man. Loupe. But his Twitter handle is at Cantaloupe. _FF. So yeah, Jordan, Bob Gilchrist, Steven Johnson, and well, John Bosch does not actually design anything. He pretty much runs it all by now, but they are just crushing it with their designs this year. And with the amount of divisions and the amount of, it's so easier to use towns as opposed to musicians because you can't put a person's face on it because that's called copyright infringement. And I like not getting sued. So yes, ffpodshirt.storeenvy.com. T-shirts, stickers. We're starting to put mugs out. And if you, John Bosch put out a request for, you can like ask for something specific, like, oh, hey, you have this shirt, but it's only in black and white. Can I get it in neon pink? Sure. Yeah, we'll make that for you. And then we'll throw it out there. So absolutely go there, because every single penny that comes in goes to Fantasy Cares. And it is staggering to see the amount of orders we have. And it's amazing to watch it happen. So go get some awesome stuff for you and help some kids get some awesome stuff for the holidays. Everybody wins. And I am super rambling at this point, so I am just going to say goodnight, everybody.
Good night. Thank you for listening to the Great Addict Podcast, a member of the DLS family of podcasts and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy pants. Daddy's the best. See ya.